you, Adrian and Mayu. That was lovely. In my childhood days long ago, my brother and I would often sit by the edge of a little pond, and we would drop stones in the water below. And we would watch how the impact of each stone sent a wave rippling outward in widening circles of undulating movement. The concentric motion of energy relates to how we think, sending a rippling effect of thought through the waters of the subconscious mind that is then being relayed through every cell and every atom of our bodies. Little do we realize the impact of a single thought and its vibratory influence. It follows the meaning of the well-known verse, well, one line in a verse, and that line is, that thou canst not stir a flower without troubling a star. Power of any kind, be it kinetic force, be it thought, or a spiritual realization, expresses what we might call the center principle. Creation and creative activity begin from a center. Our divine center is realized as the Christ within. This is why we speak of being Christ-centered in effective meditation. Christ is our center of life. Christ is our center of power, mind, love, order, and substance. Christ is the divine seed of our very being. Every seed of life has a center from which it germinates the pattern for its kind. These are the germinating forces that generate life and form. An atom has a nucleus of power, and it holds at its core the universal energies that can either destroy or create upon release. A wagon wheel has a hub, and at the central point, all of the power of movement is distributed and balanced outward through the spokes and the rim. The center principle results in balanced activity through gyroscopic motion. The sun and the planets, earth and its moons, what we commonly call gravity, are all examples of an orderly system sustained because the power is properly centered. Today, astronomers are constantly discovering galactic releases of energy from a center of power, ripples of photons and energy waves that literally touch us and our environment. Have you ever noticed that nature builds in circles? Think about this for a moment. Have you ever seen a square seed? Have you ever seen a square raindrop, a square fruit, a square berry, or a square blossom? Albert Einstein theorized that the universe is curved. The center principle is undeniable in physics, in chemistry, and also in metaphysics. From the original center of being, there is an outgrowth of unfoldment of secondary life centers, or circles within circles, and wheels within wheels. At each central point, energy is distributed, and the more perfect the distribution of that power, the more stability and unity come into being. Simply to have a sense of identity requires a center of self. Our true center is Christ, but our ego has become a secondary center of self-consciousness. If a person is too self-centered, we say he is egocentric. Charles Fillmore taught that every thought has its own ego. Ego is necessary to provide a central awareness so we realize the true divine ego is Christ. Our outer ego is a secondary center of self-identity. It is a channel and not a source of being. If we do not know who we truly are spiritually, there is a tendency to lack control and integrity of self. When our mind is troubled and when our emotions get out of hand, it is common to hear someone say, "I've done it myself, I'm sure you have as well. I feel like I'm off center. I feel like I'm off kilter." A story is told of a teacher who handed out test papers and told the students that they could begin answering the questions immediately. When she looked around the room, she noticed a little boy with his head bowed and hands over his face, as if he were not paying attention. And approaching his desk, she asked, "Don't you feel well?" And he replied, "Oh, I'm fine. But even if it's not constitutional, I always pray before a test." Simple prayer and the practice of meditation immediately centers our forces. It unifies our consciousness, and it brings us into unity of being. The true center is unfailing, but we often get lost in the secondary centers of thought, which are not really geared to truth, reality, or the universal flow. The center principle is misapplied when we give all of our attention to fear, anxiety, suspicion, guilt, or untrue states of mind. Even in negativity, centering our energies gives support to what we believe or we imagine. This is the way temptation manifests its power over us. We momentarily feel right in the narrow circle in which we may have enclosed ourselves. One of my favorite stories is about a young novice who entered a monastic order that required strict silence. Not a word could be spoken. He stayed mostly in confined quarters for 7 years, not speaking a single word. Every day he was given a bowl of lukewarm milk and some substance of food, a little routine work, and he was allowed to read and to meditate and to rest the rest of the time. And when he had completed his 7 years of training and his 7 years of obedience, the abbot called him to the office for an audience. In a kind and patronizing tone, the abbot said to the monk, "You have scrupulously kept the rule of silence, and today we would like to know the topic on which you spent most of your meditation and thought." And the novice hesitated for a moment, and then he blurted out in a determined and a petulant voice, "I like cold milk." So we are always expressing, or will be compelled to express, how we are centering our thought forces. One of the most lovable actors of generations ago was Jean Hersholt. He was a devout man, and he was also very philosophic. Reflecting on his childhood, he remembered his studies of geography in Denmark. Then, as a small boy, he was overwhelmed by the realization that there was enough water on the earth to cover the whole globe 2 miles deep. At this impressionable age, it astounded him and had a menacing implication. Thinking back on this in his adult years, he could see how the threat of an atomic power in nuclear warfare must be affecting the young people of his day. He realized that every age must come to have faith that the world and humanity can survive anything. Every generation has enough challenges to zero in on, to dwell upon with negative expectation. Centering our forces, therefore, determines our stability, our peace of mind, our maturity, and our ability to meet life with an overcoming spirit. There is always a larger center of power behind what we face in life, and it keeps the cosmic wheel balanced and turning in the right direction. To say God is in charge of my life and affairs brings about a divine centering more than sufficient to what appears menacing and out of control. The activity of God at the center of creation is the point of control and ultimate power that protects us all. An explorer or a pilot will rely on a compass, an instrument sensitive to magnetic pole, for a center of reference. Truth students accept that this is a directional guide, that there is a directional guide in the individual consciousness. In place of a sensitive needle, we look to the sensitivity of the heart and develop intuitive knowing. Once contact is made with the true center of being, the Christ, the concentric activity of God's will is done, and there is a fulfilling experience. The center principle is the supportive power that perpetuates nature. It brings humanity to higher levels of evolution, and it literally holds the universe together. We, in fact, are very privileged to be at the center of it all. In our Christ awareness, we can view the universe as an integral whole. An astronomer once remarked to Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, "To an astronomer, man is nothing but an infinitesimal dot in an infinite universe." Which is to say that if the universe were not an extension of our being, we could not regard it as a whole system divinely ordained. Emerson said, "Life consists in what man is thinking of all day." Where and how we center our thoughts, where and how we center our feelings and our attention employs the center principle. A rippling action goes out from every individual consciousness. As with the dropping of the stones, our thought ripples overlap what others think, and we are involved in what is called the race consciousness. Phineas Quimby, known as the father of New Thought teaching, said, "Our atmospheres mingle." So we must guard against this cross current of thought in our relations with others. We get no real guidance or strength from secondary centers, but we must always return to the center self, the Christ within. We can quickly get spiritually centered through first calling together our thoughts in an affirmative way. Affirmation is a means to concentrate our thinking upon a true idea. So any aspect of God acts as a magnet when we consciously center upon it. Paul knew this, and he prescribed the need for us to think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report. Paul also stressed, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can compose many affirmations by beginning with the word, I am centered in. For example, you can say, I am centered in the spirit of love, the wisdom of Christ, the idea of divine order, the perfect life of God. Do this when needed. Do it often. People speak of having their prayer time, but when are prayer and meditation advisable? I say morning, noon, and night, and often in between. You can have your preference as a practice, but every moment of the day you must become centered and see with a single eye. Jesus said, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. Use the center principle. It is always working at one level of life or another. Simply because the universe is held together, life continues despite negativity, and we all have our relative sense of security, stability, and order. The challenge is to make every thought one that will ripple in accord with the divine flow. Centering yourself in the right idea will vibrate healing energies. It will release greater light for understanding, and it will stabilize and unify human relations. Living successfully is simply centering yourself in God. This centering begins with the instruction recommended by the psalmist. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat and close your eyes. And in the closing of the eyes, we are getting rid of any distractions that may get our attention. Rest your feet on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position either in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly. And as you release that breath, know that you are releasing all of your stress, all of your worries, all of your fears, all of your anxiety. Be still and quiet your mind and let go of everything that is outside this peaceful and holy sanctuary. Let go of worrisome thoughts and all those activity things that are swirling around in your head, your to-do list, where you need to go. Just be still. Be very still. And go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms and unconditional love and His perfect peace. This world has a way of filling our mind with fears, with doubts, with worries, and with sorrows. It has a way of sucking you into the chaos, the confusion, and the nagging negativity of everyday events, causing you to feel at your wit's end, off-center, and out of kilter. You need not continue on this roller coaster of ups and downs or the merry-go-round of endless circles going nowhere. For deep within you is a center of peace and quiet. In you there is a beautiful island of silence where I am waiting to give you rest. In this place, your fears, your doubts, your worries, confusion, and chaos melt away, and only goodness and peace prevail. On this island of silence, let your eye be single, and let your thoughts be pure. Think only on those things that are of my making. Think on that which is true, honest, just, lovely, and of good report. Do not be conformed to the world, but let yourself be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get that mind that was in Christ Jesus. Be renewed in spirit and be of one mind. For our Father will keep in perfect peace, in perfect love, in perfect wisdom, and in wholeness, all those whose eye is single and mind is stayed on Him. Thank you, Father, for helping us to be steadfast and unwavering in the knowledge of this truth. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His infinite and eternal and unconditional love. Amen.